Good afternoon. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, Steve Orloff, Bob Huttmacher, Mark Lundy, who's not even, he's talking to his friend while I'm talking, and also Neil Shreshna, who I forgot to mention, for this presentation. California produces over 200 different commodities, and there's about 2.2 million hectares that are produced primarily in the Central Valley. And I'm going to be talking about the San Joaquin Valley, which is mainly the southern San Joaquin Valley, which is north of here about 2.5 hours. The majority of the crops in California, field crops, depend on irrigation. And back whatever we call normal, about 50% of our water would come from surface water, and the last couple of years it's almost 100% groundwater. Wheat is produced on approximately 300,000 hectares, so it still remains an important crop, with almonds rapidly advancing in terms of acreage. The protein standards and discounts for wheat vary depending on which part of the state that we're in, from 14% in Northern California, and in the Southern San Joaquin Valley, 13% is the standard for the San Joaquin Valley. If we get below 12% protein, the wheat is normally sold for feed. Earlier work by Ken Kasman in the San Joaquin Valley demonstrated that applications of nitrogen at the boot to flowering stage increased protein 1 to 2%. However, the work was done with Yucor Rojo, hard red spring wheat, which is a good nitrate accumulator, which even naturally obtains high protein. Other work that we conducted in the San Joaquin Valley, looking at two hard red spring and two hard red white wheats, where we added an additional approximately 30 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen at the boot stage or flowering, we had no increase in yield. However, we did steadily increase protein, approximately 1% by applying it an additional amount at the boot stage, and another 1% applying it at the flowering stage. However, because of both leaf rust and stripe rust that came into California several years ago, the varieties that research was done on, say 20 years ago, are no longer being used in the San Joaquin Valley. And so the newer varieties that are being planted are in the area that this group here that we call resistant or moderately resistant. They're higher yielding, and they have an issue of lower protein, approximately 1 to 2% less. And so the area that's planted to the varieties are susceptible to stripe rust, such as Yucor Rojo or Joaquin. And these two varieties are high nitrate accumulators, but most of the acreage is planted to higher yielding varieties that have resistance to stripe rust, but that also have a difficult time achieving our standards in protein. So we conducted 2 years of studies at two different sites, both in Fresno County, one on the west side of Fresno County on clay loam soil, and then one on the east side, which is a sandy loam soil. We had 15 different treatments to capture all the different potential application timings, and we had a spread of zero nitrogen applied at planting, all the way up to 370 kilograms per hectare, which is growers in our area are using anywhere from 200 kilograms per hectare up to 370 kilograms per hectare. The baseline that we used was based on sampling at 61 centimeters in depth and looking at the, considering the residual nitrogen that was in the soil. So this is our baseline that received no nitrogen, and then we had treatments where we added nitrogen to the at planting, and so we have treatments that include tillering, boot and flowering to compare the differences between boot and flowering. And our hypothesis with some of these higher yielding varieties was that in order to achieve high yields and high protein, we had to do it in a way that would not also cause leaching. And so we added a adjoining stage application. And in 2014, the residual nitrogen was even lower. It was about half of that, which was in 2013. So we had to adjust our rates of nitrogen to accommodate a similar total nitrogen per hectare at the end. So we're looking at one site in 2014 and two sites in 2013. And so in addition, we also chose the dominant varieties that are planted in the areas, a hard white wheat, an example of a hard red wheat, and a durum wheat. So this is a site at the Westside Research Station in Five Points, and on the east side, this is the trial site that also included three different varieties. So the next few slides are going to summarize the data for the three locations, and the results of the hard red white wheat. What I did here is just box in the treatments that gave us both high protein and high yield. And so what it demonstrated that it took approximately 200 to 370 pounds of kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at both locations. But in general, we saw improvement instead of putting it all or most of it on a pre-plant. We saw improvement by backloading the nitrogen application from tillering all the way to flowering. And then we see a similar trend with the hard red wheat at both locations to achieve approximately 13 to 14% protein. We saw a similar trend towards improvements by mobile split applications and then backloading the applications. Durum wheat reacted similar in many ways, but in order to achieve the higher nitrate and higher grain protein, higher yields and grain protein, it took even higher amounts of nitrogen. Now, in 2014, in both studies, there's a somewhat of a year effect. In this case, I just have two slides, one showing yield and protein with the three different types of spring wheats. And again, I boxed in the treatments that gave us the higher yield and protein. And in this case, it took approximately 250 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen to give us maximum yield. And then the durum, even more, over 300 kilograms per hectare to give us the maximum yield. In protein, the data is not real uniform. However, there's somewhat of a trend that follows some of the data that we saw the year before. And so, in summary, there was a cultivar slight difference in yield between the three different cultivars that were tested in these studies. The percent protein after averaging it across 15 fertilizer treatments and three sites with the hard white wheat and the hard red wheat, given both similar yield and protein. However, the durum wheat, it was much more of a challenge to achieve maximum yield and protein. We felt that the residual nitrogen that was taken provided a baseline for our nitrogen application programs in wheat in the San Joaquin Valley. The precise timing for nitrogen to achieve protein was not critical when comparing the boot stage versus the flowering stage. And what we saw actually was that both applications timing was required. So both a boot and flowering stage application of nitrogen was required to achieve protein at the high yield levels that we were achieving. And the highest yield in protein occurred at the highest levels of nitrogen. And in order to do this, we had to spread out our nitrogen applications. It required multiple applications. So in doing the calculations, there was a slight difference between the varietal types, but as a rule of thumb, it took 3.8 kilograms of nitrogen per 100 pounds of kilograms per hectare yield. And so what does this mean to the grower? It's pretty simple, is that we want to base our nitrogen rates on the yield potential and the protein standards or goals depending on the area. And the real challenge, though, too, is what we had to do in the study, and it means the same thing for the grower, is that we had to time all of our nitrogen applications, which we applied as urea. It was either followed by a rain event that day or sprinkler irrigation or flood irrigation. And for the grower might look at this and say, well, shoot, in order to achieve protein and nitrogen, I'm going to have to put it on four or five times. And we're not really saying that, but the grower has to look at his system and be able to determine how am I going to put it on. In California conditions, a lot of nitrogen is put on as a water run, flood irrigated, as UN32. We can put on urea. We can also do some liquid nitrogen that's flown on. So with that, I'd like to stop. Yes, sir. You know, we thought about it, but it was a heck of a lot more work. Mark, we actually did a year before this study, but we didn't feel that we could keep up with the good scientific practices by doing it. However, Mark Lundy is going to give a presentation within an hour, and he took that under consideration. A good question. Yes, sir. Definitely not. I mean, the soft white wheats require around 10%. Steve Orloff is going to give a talk tomorrow, and under his conditions, they take it to Oregon, and they want 14% protein. Where Mark Lundy's at, because I don't know if it's because of the extension guidance or whatever it is, but they only require 12% protein right there in the Sacramento Valley. And I've heard it's simply because they need the wheat and they don't feel that the growers can achieve over 12% protein. So that's going to be the challenge for Mark's extension program.
All right,